This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
I think the common perception in the world, at least in the yeshiva world, is that there's Jews in the world and there's Goyim in the world. And basically, a guy is able to live a very free life, a very enjoyable life, and is able to have anything that he wants at any time that he wants. And a Yid has certain restrictions, a lot of restrictions, and as a result of that, so, you know, we have Eilam Hazeh, but it's really, we're living for Eilam Haba. We're living to get a beautiful Lichtig Eilam Haba, and the Goyim chop this world, and we got the next world. And what we see in this week's parsha is something that's quite different. And it's a very important yesod that we have to all know and remember. What happens is that in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Hey, of Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov and Esav have this encounter, this famous encounter that seems like it was going to be very dangerous for Yaakov Avinu. And it turns out that Baruch Hashem, for whatever reason, Esav had compassion on Yaakov, and he started schmoozing with him. And he asks, when he sees his beautiful family, he sees Yaakov's four wives, 12 children, Dina. So he says, Vayisa es eina vayar es hanoshim es heilodim, Vayayimer mi eila lach, who are these to you? Vayayimer hayilodim asher chanan elikim es avdecha. These are the children that Hashem has graced your servant with. Meaning, Esav asks, who are all these people? Who are the wives? Who are the women? Who are the children? And he answers, these are the children that Hashem has graced me with. Now, there happens to be another side question that we're not going to get into today, and that is, what happened to the women? He didn't answer the question about the women. He just speaks about the children. And the Ramban speaks about that and others. But what's he asking? Who are these people to you? Like, obviously, I mean, if you see a person with women and children, you can assume that this is his family. And what did he answer, Yaakov? These are the children that Hashem has blessed me with. So there's a Chassidish Rebbe, a Talmud of the Chayz of Lublin. His name is Rebbe Meir of Apta. And he said a very fundamental yesod. Esav was asking Yaakov, I don't understand something. I know you're a very big tzaddik. You're the Merkava L'Shechina. You're the chariot on which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen in this world to ride on. You're it. You're the Gadol Adar. You're the Tzaddik Adar. You're the Chassid Adar. You're everything. And if that's the case, how does it shtim? How is it possible that somebody on such a high level of spirituality, of Ruchnius, is able to have women, have children? Like, that's not something that we, as Goyim, look at as being an acceptable option even. You see that Goyim have, you know, by the Goyim, they have priests, the Furma Goyim are, you know, they have their priests, and they take vows of all types of, you know, precious, Kaviyachal, and they, you know, and they don't get married, they don't have women, they don't have children. That's what they're dedicated to the church. And Lahavdil, the nuns also, they don't get married. There's a concept by Goyim that there's, you know, if you're a very religious, holy person, that means you have to abstain from any Tainag of Eilam Hazeh. You can't be married, you can't engage in any relationships, in any marital relationships. And you have to, you know, you can't have a family. You have to be totally dedicated, Kulu Lashem Kaviyachal. And so Esav looks at Yaakov, and he has a beautiful family. He has wives, he has children, and he says, "Mi elulach, like, is this mutter for you? Like, what happened here? How did you get away with this?" That was the perception of Esav as to what Yaakov is supposed to look like. He didn't expect to see this. And to this, Yaakov responds, no. Hayiladim asher chana lekim esavdecha. This is actually a mitzvah for us, believe it or not. This is what Hashem wants. This isn't an aberration. This isn't that I went to some, you know, alternate type of, offshoot of Judaism and I found a heter. This is a mitzvah d'iraisa. This is a mitzvah to get married, to have children, to have a family. These are things that the Torah wants from me. This is not an aberration. This is not something strange. A holy person is allowed and is encouraged and is mandated to have a family, to have a regular, normal life, and just elevate it with Kedusha. And here lies a very fundamental difference between the way Goyim look at religion and Lahavdil Elif Alfei Abdolos, the way a Yid looks at religion. Goyim look at religion as being completely segregated from any Hanayis of Olam Hazeh. You can either be a very religious person, but then you have to live up in the Himalayas and do some meditation all day and all night, but have no shaykhs to eating, no shaykhs to drink, no shaykhs to marriage, no shaykhs to chill, just a completely segregated life. Or you could be a man of the people and you could do what you want and have a geshmaka life, and and once a day or once a week or once a year you go to confession, you get absolved of all your averus, and then you go back and do them all over again. That's the way a guy looks at life. You either could be religious and a holy person, but then you have to abstain from everything in Olam Hazeh, or you could be a regular Joe College, a regular guy, but then, and you're allowed to do everything, but you're not a religious person. You can't have both. And Klal Yisrael taught the world that's not true. That's a false notion of what religion is. Religion is not something that we have to do cloistered in some convent and have no kesher to the world and no kesher to eating, drinking, enjoying life. We believe that we can enjoy life. We should enjoy life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a life and we have to make the best of it, make the most of it, have a wife, have a family, have children, have nachas, be able to have a Shabbos table, a Yontif table, give tzedakah, build yeshivas, go to, do enjoy the world, go on trips, go on vacation, learn Torah. It's a beautiful life that we're living. It's not that by being religious, being an Eved Hashem, you therefore have to basically give away your whole Olam Hazeh, but in the hopes that someday maybe I'll be Zeichet Olam Haba. That's not what a Yid believes. A Yid believes that we can have Hayiladim Asher Chana Lekim Esavdecha. You can be married, you can have a wife, you can have a family, you can have a table, you could have a kitchen, you can have a dining room, you could have everything. You could live like a king and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and uplift everything by doing mitzvahs and by believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and by making brachas and by davening and doing all these things. And we can have literally the best of both worlds. We can have Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, everything we can have. And a guy doesn't understand this. A guy does not understand how a Yid is able to have both. Maybe that's why there's so much anti-Semitism, because, if we would have to suffer a little bit, if they would see us, having no Olam Hazeh, so maybe they could forgive that we're Yidden, we could have Olam Haba. But they see that, Baruch Hashem, we live nicely, we have nice houses, nice cars, we eat well, we sleep well, everything is good. And so I don't get it. These Jews, they have this world and they're getting the next world. That doesn't sit well with me. And that is a very inherent difference between a Yid and a guy. And if you want to see something really amazing, you look at the Emes LeYaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's Sefer. It's all the way at the beginning of his Pirush on Chumash in Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalet of Bereishis. And he basically continues, we'll say a few Yesaides from there about this very topic. And he explains a few things in Yadus that really become clear with this, with his hashkafa, with this difference between a yid and a guy. One thing that he says is that the halacha is that shalmei akum oilis. We know that goyim are allowed to contribute karbanis. Believe it or not, they're able to bring karbanis in the Beis HaMikdash. They're not allowed to go past the seirig, past a certain line of demarcation in the Beis HaMikdash. A guy is not allowed to go beyond that. And that's what Hanukkah, by the way, was all about. Ufartzu chemis migdalai. They were shooting holes. The Yevanim wanted to breach the walls of the seirig, which represented the breaking down of this line of demarcation, this barrier between a Yid and a Guy. The Guyim were very upset that the Yidden were keeping them out of the Mekaymes HaKadoshim, and therefore they were shooting holes in the barrier. But when they do bring karbanis, they could bring karbanis, and they can, you know, they have to pay for them, obviously. They could donate it. But the only type of karban that they're able to bring is a karban ayla. They can't bring a shlamim, they can't bring a taida, they can't bring a chatas. They can only bring a karban ayla. What is a karban ayla? A karban ayla is that you bring a karban and it's kulay kolal, it's all destroyed. You basically bring a whole behemah and they burn the entire behemah on the mizbeach. That's the only type of karban that a guy is able to dedicate, to devote to the Beis HaMikdash. They can't bring anything else. The other karbanis, besides for the ayla, there is human consumption involved. If I bring a shlamim, I'm able to eat a good part of the meat. If I bring a chatos, the kaihanim, oichlim ubailam iskaprim, the kaihanim eat the meat of the chatos, and by them eating the meat, we get a kapara, but somebody's eating it. The taida, everybody, you know, many, many people, the famous Nitziv, says that there you have to consume a lot of different types of breads with a carbon taida, and in a very short amount of time, which means that you have to invite many, many people to eat it together, and that way you're able to be mefarsem to publicize the great miracle that happened to you. But the point is that a Yid is able to understand that a karban is something that it's holy, it's a sacrifice, it's an offering, but it's something that I could actually physically partake in. I could eat the actual, I could, a human being can consume this holy meat, this holy offering. And that's not a stira to our Yiddishkeit, because we believe that we're able to actually enjoy from the religion. The religion is an enjoyable experience. I could actually get pleasure from it. A guy doesn't understand this. A guy thinks, no. If it's religious, that means it's all to God. It's all, you know, you have to focus your entire life on God. There can't be any physicality. There can't be any enjoyment. Human pleasure is something that we put on the side of the regular people, but the really religious people, that has to be, there has to be complete and utter, you know, separation from anything physical. So they're only able to bring an ayla. That's all they understand. They only understand, okay, you bring a carbon and it's all coal, it all gets burned up. That we understand. As a guy, I get that. It's all for God. A Yid doesn't believe that. A Yid believes that we're able to enjoy this life. We're able to have pleasure from this life in every single aspect that a guy can, but we uplift that pleasure. And we even make it a mitzvah, we make it holy, and by doing so, we are able to have both worlds. Rabbi Yaakov continues, and he says that there's a Gemara in Psachim and Daf Samaches Mabez, that we know there's a machlekes, whether or not Yamim Tayvim are Kulei Hashem or Kulei Lachem, whether you have to either, you know, have the entire day with eating, drinking, etc., or you fast the whole day and you just have in Yanei Kedusha, you dav and you learn, or is a chetzil Hashem chetzil Hashem, or do I split it up half and half, machlekes? But the Gemara says that kulei alma meida batzeres debaina nami lochem. When it comes to Shavuos, everybody agrees that it's not all or nothing. You have to have a little bit. You have to have some lochem. You have to eat and you have to drink a little bit. At least. So everybody has, I don't understand, Shavuos, Shavuos is the yontov giving of the Torah. It's a ruchnius, it's like a holiday. It's a very holy. Shouldn't that be the day that everybody agrees that you have to learn a little bit, you got to daven a little bit? That would make more sense. Why does everybody agree on Shavuos that you have to eat and you have to drink? You need to be in a nami lochem. And the Gemara gives a reason. Yaim shnitna by Torah Yisrael. This is the day that the Torah was given to Klai Yisrael. Beautiful. So what? So that's a day that we should be learning. Everybody, you shouldn't be eating the whole day. You should be learning a little bit that day. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that on Shavuos, everybody agrees that you have to have a little lachem. And Rabbi Yaakov explains that the reason is that when the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, it was like a nuclear bomb that was dropped on the world because a great chiddush came out of the Torah. And that is that a human being could actually enjoy this world. They can have yamim tayvim, they can have the finest wine, they can have the finest schnapps, they could have the finest meats, and they could actually uplift that and make that into a holy day. It's a very big chiddush of that was given on Shavuos. So on Shavuos, everybody agrees that you have to have what? Ruchnias or Gashmias? You have to have Gashmias, because you can have ruchnias also. We stay up the whole night and we learn and we daven, but you have to have gashmias. You can't avoid gashmias, because the point of the yontif, the chiddush of the yontif Shavuos, is that this is what a yid does. A yid is able to have lachem and lashem, and he uplifts the lachem and makes it into lashem, but we could still enjoy the physicalities of this world. He brings an amazing sefar note. It says, V'chal b'char banai efta, that there's a mitzvah, pidgin ha-ben. What is pidgin ha-ben all about? It's a strange mitzvah. If you have a child, you have a son, and it's your firstborn son, and there has to be a lot of conditions. Very rare to actually be able to be zeichet to have a pidgin ha-ben. We have them, you know, but it's very rare. I don't know, you know, I've been to maybe 3-4 pidgin habens my entire life. It's very uncommon, because it has to be a firstborn, has to be a peter rechem, it can't be a C-section, and it can't be, if any of the grandparents of the baby is either kayin or a levi, that knocks them out of contention. And a few other things that have to take place. So it's quite rare to have a pidgin haben. What is a pidgin haben? A pidgin haben is that the firstborn is supposed to have been dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. That's really what a bechar is. A bechar eventually got changed to kahuna, but a firstborn is the son that has to be dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, to Avedis Hashem. That's the way it used to be. The bechar, the firstborn son, was given over to the Beis HaMikdash and to do the Avedis Hashem. A pidgin haben is you go to the kayin and you're paide your son, and you're basically saying, I'm taking him away from that. Now he's going to live with me. I'm giving you some money, I'm giving you 5 silver coins, but now I get to keep my baby. I get to keep my baby. So, and what do? We make a big celebration. We have a suda, we have brachas, we have all types of things going on. So the Sfarna says, I don't understand, what's the celebration? Isn't it, this should be a terrible thing. You're taking a child who should be in the Beis HaMikdash, you're being paid to him, so now he's able to live, you know, in Queens and be able, you know, and go on his e-scooter and go to pizza stores all day. Like, how is that an uplifting of, that's a cause for celebration? What's going on here? Why is that? We should celebrate if he actually goes to the Beis HaMikdash and stays there. But to stay, okay, he's staying with us, and you know, how is that a celebration? Says the Sfarno. It's a very, very important yisoid that the Sfarno gives us. He says that if we would not be paid to him, he would stay all his life in Kedusha. But now that we are actually paid to him, now what happens is something very different. What happens is that he's able to be raised in a normal upbringing, but we're able to bring him to Kedusha in a more holistic way. Yes, he's able to eat pizza, he's able to eat shawarma, he's able to have an e-scooter, but he could be raised as a Jewish boy with Kedusha, with Tara. He's going to Davin, he's putting on tefillin, he's doing mitzvahs, That's what the, that's not a bidiyeved. A yid looks at that as lechatchila. A bidiyeved would be that we have to, in order to keep a Jew holy, we have to put him in the convent. We got to put him in a holy place and lock the door and make sure he never gets out, never sees anything, has no sheches to olam hazeh, and then maybe he'll be a good boy. It's not what a yid believes. A yid believes, I believe that I could raise my son b'kedusha v'tahara even in the world, a regular normal upbringing, but he could still be normal and he could still be holy at the same time. That's a chiddush, says Rabbi Yankov, that comes about as a result of the mitzvah of Pidgin HaBen. I wanted to just be meisif onto this, that maybe this is why Esav sold the Bechira. Would this misunderstanding that Esav had, that he thought that I can't be, you know, you can't be holy and regular, normal, you can't enjoy this world and the next world at the same time. He didn't understand. Esav missed the boat. So he said, I want to sell this Bechira because that's not me. I'm a man of the field. I like eating. I like drinking. I like women. I want to live this world. I don't want this Bechira. Yaakov, you look like a good candidate. You're sitting in the base medrash. You're a good guy to have the Bechira. It's not for me. I'm going to die. I want to chaper in this world. So he sold the Bechira for a Nezid Adashim, for a bowl of cholent. He was able to sell the entire Bechira and to have a little bit of Gashmias, a little Eilam Hazah, he was willing to give up the entire Bechira. But the reason that he made this fundamental error is that he didn't understand. He didn't understand the concept of this Pidgin HaBen, that you're able to be a Bechar, I could be normal. I could, you're paid to me, I'm able to do everything and anything that I want, but now it's going to be an Avedis HaKadosh to do it. So you could go and eat, you could go and drink, you could just make a bracha, and you bench, and you have Kavanah L'Shem Shemayim, and guess what happens? Everything is Nala, everything is Nis'ala to the realm of Kedusha. The pasuk says, "Vayeichal vayesht vayakam vayelach vayibes esav esabuchayra." He ate and he drank. He got up and he went and he was mevazah the bechayra. And we know that it's not a chazal, but there was. I saw from the Kleisenberger Rebbe. He said that this was always the minig. It was like a children's song. And I was raised with this, but I thought it was always a chazal. It's not a chazal. It's just something that a rebbe used to teach children in cheder. Vayoichal, he ate without a bracha. And then, vayoichal, vayishta, he drank without a bracha. Vayokam, vayelach, and then after he got up, after he finished eating, what did he do? He just got up, vayelach, and he went away. Without what? He didn't bench. Vayivez esav es ha-bechayra, and with that, he was mevaza the bechayra. He ate without a bracha, he got up without benching, and that is the way that he was mevazah the Bechira. You know why? Because the Bechira is something that shows. We learn from the Bechira that I could be holy. My father is paid to me, and now I'm a regular guy, but I just have to act with extreme holiness in my regular life. And what does that entail? That entails I'm going to eat a delicious meal, but I just have to bench after I'm finished, I have to wash before I start, I have to make brachas on it, I have to have some kavana that it's l'shem shamayim, and then I'm good. But Esav didn't do that. Esav thought that, listen, I can't do both. I'm either eating and drinking and having geshmaka time, or I'll be in some temple and I'll do meditation all day, but I can't join the two. I don't have a guf and a neshama. A yid understands that the guf and the neshama are harmonious. We harmonize the guf and the neshama. That we have a guf, and the guf wants what it wants, and we don't deprive it. We say, fine, gezunda, you can have it, but just put ruchnius into it. Infuse ruchnius into the guf. So you're able to eat. You have a steak. It doesn't have to be it could be a delicious steak in a very fancy restaurant. if you wash and you bench and you have good kavanas, that's fine. A yid doesn't look at that. Obviously, you know, there's another issue of being, you know, overly, you know, to spend too much and to live too much of an indulgent lifestyle. It's another. That's, you know, there is an inin of some degree of moderation in life. That's another shmooze. But in terms of the actual ability to enjoy what you're eating, to enjoy what you're drinking, to enjoy an experience, and to say this is what Hashem wants, that a yid believes it. A guy doesn't believe it. So Asa said, I'm going to wash, I'm going to bench. No, that doesn't go hand in hand with the Aveda. The Aveda has to be all without any, you know, I can either enjoy this world or the next world, but I cannot combine both. And this is what we have to, I believe, take away from this Yesaid, that we started off with, that it's important, you know, that a Jew believes wrongly that Goyim have this world and we have the next world. A guy is able to do anything and everything that he wants. He can watch anything, do anything, have this, have that, and without any guilt, all pleasure. And first of all, it's baloney. It's not, they don't enjoy this world as much as I believe we think that they do. But the fallacy that we don't have Eilam Haza, that we have everything for Eilam Haba, is the wrong, it's the wrong way to go about looking at our life, because it's just not true. We have both this world and the next world. A Yid is able to take this world and uplift it and live a life that a guy could only dream about. A guy has, you know, Thanksgiving. We just had Thanksgiving, right? So the whole year they're cuching about Thanksgiving. What are we going to, you know, what's the turkey stuffing going to be? And what's the this and what's the side? And how are we going to keep on a diet if we go on Thanksgiving? You know, like that's like every magazine article is about, how am I going to get through my diet if I have one suda, like a Thanksgiving suda? It's not shayach. I'm going to break my whole diet. They don't chop. Like Yidden Mamish have... Every, you know, I've been trying to diet for years. Every time I try to diet, there's a yanta, there's a Shabbos, or this or that. Does that? You never have an opportunity. Only chasnas and brisin, and every day is another 10-course meal. So a guy really doesn't have it. And then they have, what do we do with the mother-in-law? What do we do with sister-in-law? We're going to talk about Trump, and there's going to be machlekas at the Thanksgiving meal. How do you avoid dealing with? Like, we do this every single day. Every Shabbos we spend with our family three times a day, three meals in 24 hours. Every Yontif we have, not just one day, we have, you know, many, many days consecutive, we're spending time with our family. That's a beautiful thing. We get to have a real deep DMCs with our children, with our family, deep meaningful conversations, with our families, with our you know, it's there's something beautiful about that. A guy can't understand this. You're spending mamish so much time together with your family, with your friends, with community, with shul. Every day you go to shul, you daven, you shmooze, you have mincha, ma'ariv. Like, it's amazing. It's an unbelievable thing. But we have to appreciate it. We have to chop what we have. I think Goyim sometimes that have a shaychas to us in a certain way, they see what we have a lot more than we see what we have. And we have to understand, Ashreinu Matayv Chalkeinu, we're so fortunate that we have a Torah that allows us to get schar for even enjoying this world. We don't get schar for being tortured and being, you know, punished and you know, being pirish from every tainug and every idun of this world. We have it, all the idunim of this world. Right? We're able to drive. We're able to have nice houses and nice, you know, we go on vacations. We go, we Baruch Hashem, we do a lot of good stuff. But we do it, hopefully we're doing it with Kedusha. When we do it with Kedusha, it makes it an a much deeper experience than just doing it stam. And the ruchnius that we put in, this ruchnius that we infuse into the gashmias, makes the gashmias much more geshmak. I was at a Hasidic Chasna once, One of my sons had a Rebbe who was Hasidish. It was like in the early grades, and he was making a chasna, so he invited his whole shir to Brooklyn for the chasna. So I volunteered to drive, to drive a bunch of kids to the chasna. And once I was there, I already, parked the car and went into the chasna also. And it was a chasna very different than I was used to, and probably what you're used to. I was looking for the shmorg, for the sesame chicken, for the this, for the bar. It was a very, very, very simple chasna. It was just potato kugel was the entire shmorg. It's all that they had, and maybe some like Mayim Chaim soda. That was the shmorg, and it was delicious. No one was complaining. A lot of times I go to these like super fancy $1 million chasnas, and the whole ride back, everybody's saying the steak was too tough and this was too hard. This guy spent $1 million. Nobody noticed the flowers for $300,000. Nobody noticed the wines that were, everyone's just complaining about like it's freezing, it's this, it's that. This is a simple chasna, simple as it gets. But it was beautiful. Everybody was just happy. They were dancing. They were, there's like a one-man band. And then the main, we sat down for the main, also very, very simple, delicious, but very simple. And I noticed on the table, there was a card. Every table had a card on it. And I have charata to say that I didn't steal the card, whatever. But I did remember exactly what it said on the card. It was like put out by a gemach, and listen to what it says on the, every table said like this. With no lashon hara on your tongue, the food tastes better. With no lashon hara in your ears, the music sounds sweeter. Enjoy. It was a message for everybody. They didn't want lashon hara at the chasna, but they were reminding people. They didn't just say, no lashon hara at the chasna. They said, no, I want you to know something. There's a yisayid, that if you don't speak lashon hara, the food that you're tasting is better. And if you're not listening to lashon hara, the music is sweeter. And that's true, because gashmius is directly impacted by ruchnius. The ruach and the neshama, the guf and the neshama are together, they're partners. And the more ruchnius that you're able to be meisif into the gashmius, the more enjoyable the gash. It could be a steak that two people are eating, same steak, same recipe. One person is doing it just because he's hungry, and another person is doing it because, he wants to eat l'shem shamayim. Not only does that second person get schar and the first person gets no schar, but the second person's steak actually tastes better than the first person's steak because there is a flavor that you can't buy in a supermarket that you put into that steak, and that is your shamayim, kedusha, ruchnius. So when you're actually not speaking lashon hara, the food does taste better. You know why? Because your tongue is now tasting the gashmias without any bad, additives. And when you're listening to music without the lashon hara in your ear, then your guf appreciates the music so much more because it's kulei ruach. It's kedusha. The body really wants kedusha. The body fools people into thinking that they just want gashmi. It's not true. And that's why Gayim, they don't have satisfaction from their gashmias. They can have all the mansions they want, all the sports cars that they want, all the types they never get enough. Once when I was a kid, there was a song, very popular song, by the Spitz rock star of his time. And Mamish, he was a man that had everything. Like Mamish, anything that you could ever imagine that a human being could be tayim in this world, he had it. But yet, his most famous song, arguably, is "We Don't Get No Satisfaction." Is that right? We don't get no. I don't get no. Whatever. Okay. Nobody knows. Good. So only the mashgiach knows. So we don't get no satisfaction. Meaning he was speaking about the fact that as much as he's getting in life, and he has everything, but he gets no satisfaction from, he has no sipuk on nefesh, because the gamma nefesh leisimale, the nefesh that every person has, is not satisfied by gashmias. It doesn't do the trick. But if you're able to eat and you're able to put the ruchnias into the experience, and you wash like a mensch, and you make a bracha, and you bench, and you speak divrei Torah at the table, that's a suda that you get satisfaction from. You feel like saveya from. You feel satisfied from. Because it's the combination of ruchnias and gashmias that really does everything. You know, that's the Gemara that says about that, you know, Yeshlanu Tavlin Echad V'Shabbos Shema. There was like a guy that like wanted to, he tasted cholent and like he went crazy over it. And he said like, all right, I want the recipe. And they made it and like, you know, and it wasn't the same. They said, what you didn't give me the whole recipe. What'd you leave out? He said, no, the recipe is Shabbos. The recipe, the Kedusha of the cholent is not cholent. You know, you have cholent on a Tuesday. It's not cholent. Cholent, Shabbos to get cholent, or the leftovers of Shabbos even, that has Kedusha Shabbos baked into it. That's what gives a person the Sipuk HaNefesh. Rabbi Baruch Ber used to say that when he makes the bracha in the morning of Shaleya Sani Gai, so you know, he says, I'm not thinking about the payer, you know, about the drunk guy in the street that's like every night gets blasted and he's in the gutter in the morning, and that's the guy that I'm having in mind when I say Shaleya Sani Gai. That's not when I say Shaleya Sani Gai, I'm thinking about the biggest king, the biggest prime minister, the biggest politician, the biggest, you know, celebrity. You take the Spitz guy, you take the most, you know, the wealthiest, the fanciest, the most celebrated guy. That's who I have in mind when I say Shaleya Sani Gai. I don't want to be that either. I definitely don't want to be the simple guy, but I don't want to be the finest guy. I also make a brach with Shema Malchus that I don't want to be that guy. Because that's, we understand as Yidden that it really is geschmack to be a Yid, but we have to appreciate it. We could sing about it, we could talk about it, but l'maisa we have to feel it. We have to really understand and appreciate how fortunate we are that we're zeicha to be not just Yidden, but Bnei Torah, people that live, you know, that get to learn every day a lot and get to daven like a mensch and get to spend time together with the yeshiva, Shabbos, Yontif, Chanukah. These are times that we go through the year and we sort of appreciate it, but if we would realize really what we have and how, as much as we sometimes are mekaneh, maybe gayim, and now they're able to really have a life, quote unquote, but you don't realize that they look at you, that you really have the life. You have the ruchnias, you have the gashmias, they don't get satisfaction from anything. And that's why many of them are miserable and they're not happy and they're not... And we have to be happy with what we have because we have a lot. We have more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu could ever, you know, give us. We have, and we have to appreciate it. We have to say Ashrenu Matayv Chalkeinu. And this is all brought about from this parasha, Yaakov and Esav, this encounter where Esav notices the beautiful lifestyle that Yaakov has. Esav is supposed to be the Spitz guy, and you know, and he doesn't have a life. And Nebuch, he has to see after all these years, Yaakov, the Talmud Chacham, the Tzaddik, and not only does he have all the Kedusha and Tara intact, but he also has a beautiful wife, he has beautiful wives, he has beautiful children, he has a family, he's happy, he has Hadras Panim, he's learning, and he's also very wealthy, he has all this cattle and sheep, he has it all. And this isn't what Esav had in mind. Esav didn't understand this, and Esav sees, like, I blew it. I thought that I was getting at least Eilam Hazeh, but it turns out that I don't have Eilam Hazeh, I don't have Eilam Haba. You know, the brachas that Yaakov Avinu gave, that Yitzchak Avinu gave to Yaakov versus Esav is very, very telling. Yaakov Avinu got the bracha V'yitein l'cha l'kim mital ha-shamayim u'mishmani ha-aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you mital ha-shamayim, meaning heavenly ruchnias should come down on you, u'mishmani ha-aretz, and all the geshmak, the fat of the land. Meaning you should have ruchnias and you should have gashmias. But he was makdim the ruchnias to the gashmias, which is the greatest matana, v'yitein l'cha. I'm giving you a gift. I'm going to give you ruchnias. You're going to have a plenty of ruchnias. Plus, you'll also have gashmias. And the gashmias will be infused with that ruchnias, and it's going to be unbelievable. When Esav came and he said, you know, hey, give me a bracha also, when he realized that Yaakov took his brachas, so Yitzchak was able to muster the following bracha. Hine mishmani ha'aretz yema shavecha. From the fat of the land should be your dwellings. Umitala shamaya me'al. And you'll also have some dew of the heavens. So we see that by Esav, first he was given a bracha of gashmias, mishmani ha'aretz yema shavecha, and also a little bit of ruchnias. Rarely you'll get a little ruchnias once in a while. You'll have some, you know, some ruchniastic experiences, whatever, in your religion and whatever you're doing. Once in a while, rarely you'll have a little ruchnias, but your main thing is gashmias. Yaakov Avinu, the main thing is ruchnias. The main, if you wake a yid up in the middle of the night, what do you want? I want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma'idani lefanecha. My main thrust in life is ruchni. Also, I have to eat, I have to sleep, and I'm going to do that well, and that also is ruchnias, but I'm going to make the gashmi into much more delicious food and much more geshmak experience because of the fact that it's ruchniastic infused. A guy has gashmis, he runs after gashmis all his life, and he never really appreciates it because he has such little ruchnias to show for it that the gashmis means nothing almost. And this is the importance of the Aveda of a Yid, the beauty of what Yiddishkeit brought to the world, to be able to show that ruchnias is not being you know, away from everybody, being a pirish from everybody, being mubdil from everybody. Ruchni, Yiddishkeit means I have a community, I have a shul I daven in, I have yeshiva I go to, I learn with, I have a chavrusa, I have a family, I have friends, I see them very often, we shmooze, we have good times together. But everything is with Yom Tovim, with Shabbos, with Chanukah, with davening, it's all ruchnias with gashmias. A guy is all gashmias with a little bit of ruchni once in a while if he's zeich, and that's a big deal. But the way that we are able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dafka through being, you know, full of ruchnias, and the gashmias actually makes the ruchnias actually makes the gashmias that much more geshmak. It's something that a guy cannot understand. You know, they have like these jokes about how a guy, you know, can never understand like a day that you don't say v'urachim. Like if there's a chassan Monday and Thursday in the Beis Medrash, it's a hana that a guy can never understand. That's true. But not only can he not understand that hana, he can't understand what a Shabbos is. He doesn't understand it. He just thinks it's all about, oh, the Jews are into food and they're eating, and that's not what it is. It's a holy experience. It's kulei ruchni. But the gashmias is enabling, is enhancing the ruchniastic experience, and that ruchnias experience enhances the gashmias experience, and we're literally able to be mitzdaref, the guf and the neshama together, and that's a pella. Like the Rama says, the bracha of umafli lasis, the Rama and Shulchan Aruch on the bracha of Asher Yatzar, umafli lasis, we say every day by Asher Yatzar. What's the pella? What's the wonder of the bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does? That he's able to take ruchnias and gashmias and put it together. A human being with his body has a neshama in it, and it doesn't like slip out. He's able to keep it all together. That's a pella. And it's a pella that a yid is able to live a holy life and such a gashmistic life, and it works. Somehow we're able to combine the best of both worlds. We'll have Eilam Haba Mitz Hashem, but we also have to appreciate Eilam Hazel. I'll just end with a beautiful maiso of Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler used to tell a person, one of his balabatim that gave a lot of money to yeshiva, you know, I think you should be learning more. Every day I want you to make a seder, you're not learning enough. So the person said to Rav Aaron, I don't understand. The Rosh Yeshiva always tells us that if we support Torah in Eilam Haba, we're going to be able to mamish be conversant in Torah. We'll know all the Kivagers, we'll know all the Rashbas, we'll know all the Brisker Torah, we'll know everything in Eilam Haba. So I'm supporting your yeshiva, supporting hundreds of guys learning, so I'm going to have Eilam Haba. So what are you making me learn for? So Rav Aaron says, you're right. Eilam Haba you have. but I'm worried about your Olam Haza. How are you going to have Olam Haza? Without learning every day, you don't have Olam Haza. You have to learn and you have to daven. That's your Olam Haza, the geschmack of learning, the geschmack of davening, and the fact that we can enjoy it with Gashmias and everything together. That's umafli lasa. That's a pella in the bria. It's something that it's the Gayim can't understand this. It's not normal that a yid is able to be mechadish such a thing that we can have a beautiful physical life and a beautiful spiritual life and harmonize these two, make them completely in sync with one another, and live a life that's so blessed in both tchunas of ruchnias and gashmias. It's a pella, and Baruch Hashem, we rezeichet to that. Ashreinu matayv chalkeinu. Have a good Shabbos, Rabbis.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.